We could actually, you know, rip off Hollywood Babylon and have, instead of me and Mason's
cock,
Jay's cock.
Jay Tate's, Thompson Tate's cock. Oh, that might have to happen. No.
How big is it?
My cell phone reception gets better when I stand next to Jay.
Very well played. Just like that. Just like that.
It's so big that passengers use it to commute underneath the English Channel from France to London. It's a English tunnel.
No, I know what it is.
Yeah, okay.
It was a joke.
It was a joke.
It was the joke.
Oh, the joke?
Yeah.
The dad joke?
Yeah.
It's so big that Slarty Barkfest uses it to get out onto the planet production floor.
Ooh, well done. There's really no way to get better than that, so I'm just going to go ahead and start. This is episode 42 of Geeks Under the Influence, and it being episode 42, there is no way we're going to do anything other than Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So we are watching the BBC series in the background as we talk about Douglas Adams, the BBC series, the books, the 2005 movie that I think, personally, Mos Def was amazing as Ford Prefect.
Yes, Mos Def was awesome.
Yeah.
He was great.
He was phenomenal. And, of course,
I thought
Martin
this episode
Freeman.
Was about a black man breaking into the major leagues of baseball.
That's next week.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was literally he did the quota. The only reason that he's in the movie is for the quota.
He's
the one black man in the movie.
get that American rapper guy to play Ford Prefect.
Well, he did a great job.
Oh, he did
a great job.
So we're talking all things Douglas Adams and Hitchhiker's Guide on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, episode 42. Welcome.
Geeks Under the Influence.
We've been talking about doing this for a month or two. Anthony brought up the idea that on episode 42, we can't do anything other than Hitchhiker's Guide. And honestly, that's so completely true.
I'm a numbers guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, 42, it has a special meaning for me.
Was it you or Jody?
For what?
That brought up the idea.
I thought
of doing
it was
this.
Jody, because remember, I thought you yelled at her because you didn't let her know. You didn't, like, you were like, why? You need to let me know these things.
No,
like,
it was me.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah. When you said something, it was like, oh, yeah, so we're like in the late 30s and, you know, we're getting up. And I was like, well, episode 42, you know, we all know what that has to be.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Let the German take the credit.
Okay.
He's pulling a Malcolm McLaren where he claims that he created punk rock. You know,
Who's what?
Never mind. I'll explain it to you when you're older. I am.
Well, if it's a guy who claimed he created punk rock, he's wrong and should die. Does anybody like this guy?
Malcolm McLaren?
Yeah.
I don't think Malcolm McLaren likes Malcolm McLaren.
Well, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Is he as rude as Malcolm McDowell?
Oh, probably worse. But I'm the Hobbit, host of Geeks Under the Influence. And
are you?
Yes, I am, in fact.
Really?
And just like the planet Earth, I am mostly harmless. I'm mostly harness.
Mostly harness.
It's my
in
girdle.
My sex swing.
It's a girdle, really. Yeah. Next to me, joining for the Hitchhiker's Guide episode, is Miss Yankee Blue Jeans.
It's been a while. I can't remember.
Oh, God. The vodka drink that I'm being made is affecting my abilities.
Why are you drinking vodka?
Why are you drinking liquor?
Why are you drinking vodka?
Exactly. I switched back to beer. Because.
Why did you drink vodka?
Guys, he drinks a whiskey drink. He drinks a vodka drink.
You are not going to chumba-wumba this episode. God damn it.
Holy shit.
He is known to sing the songs that remind him of the best times, so.
I get knocked down on Beth's porch, and I don't get up again. I get dragged to a couch.
And then I keep him awake for 6 hours. Okay.
Oh, there's a snort.
That's actually a good segue. A couple years ago, we had a sci-fi party that was called the Restaurant at the End of the Universe Party, and I was dressed as a combat space taco, as one does, and got in a fight with Doctor Who and ended up smashing my head first into a brick wall.
And we had Pan-Galactic Gargle Blasters there, and I was dressed as Jadzia Dax, and then I put on some jeans and kept Mike awake for
Yankee
the rest
Blue
of the
Jeans.
Night.
Yes. Yes. Put on her Yankee blue jeans.
I think they were Florida blue jeans because they were Beth's.
Fair enough. Another gentleman that was present for said concussion and party is Mr. Socks and Sandals Groots is here.
Indeed. And Jesse and I were 2x2 hands of blue.
Nice.
Party. It was a good time.
Yeah, there's a picture of him as the 2x2 Hands of Blue guy strangling Judzia Dax.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's great.
My spots were on fucking point.
Your spots were serious. Girl. You
they
took
went
some time.
All the way, man. That's awesome.
They did not. They went to about here.
Shut up, man. This is
no
radio.
One here
Nobody
about
knows.
Here is.
Clavicle.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like they're going to check the GUI Wikipedia page and call us bullshit, you know?
Pixar didn't happen.
Yeah, man. Right. Next one up is Miss Katie is here to join us.
Hi.
A fan of Hitchhiker's Guide and the the
following
books.
I was not at the party.
You're
not
at the party. Thanks to a fog machine, I can barely see her.
That's because her man toy behind her just got this, like...
It's totally Josh.
Vape rig.
What are you talking about? He sounds like Vader over here.
I haven't hit it in, like, literally, he's hit it four times since the last time I hit
it.
It
might have
been
me.
In the ass with the baseball bat.
Mine makes a lot of
all
noise.
All three of them are in the sick clouds, bruh.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. So. Yeah, that's us now.
Blaming it on the black guy.
Of course. You're the
Jesus
one I see.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, basically, all the cloud chasing vapors are on one side of the room, so half of the room... looks like the fog got into the room and is going to kill us all.
Yeah.
I don't build my own. I'm not a cloud chaser.
Oh, my.
But, hey, man, you have to, like, make coils, like, with
you got
to
hand wrap
like,
that shit?
Dude. Yeah,
the cloud chasers are the ones that actually build their own coils. That's where they coil
yeah,
out.
Yeah, so you can't call us that, Mike.
Yeah.
Just call them fucking Puff the Magic Dragon.
Just stay in your world of what you know about, and then we'll just know ours.
Is that what we're doing?
That's what we're going to do.
The man that's giving me shit, of course, is Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver, the sexual chocolate.
What's up, guys?
He's good.
Groots and Lowdown and I went to Mad Monster last week. And,
fuck yeah, we did.
And it was an absolute blast. That's the episode that you're going to hear after this one is our on-location episode of Geeks Under the Influence, where we talk to a couple vendors and just about the con and everything.
With a special treat.
And a little special treat. Yes. Hmm. So look out for that next week. I think it's been a week. We're recovered at this point, right?
Oh, yeah.
That drive was really what got me.
The drive home.
Yeah,
was
it was
mother
awful.
Of God.
Talk to me about
six
the
hours?
Drive to and from
was it
Charlotte.
Like 6 hours?
Oh, yeah, I know. Six and a half hours, I think it took us.
Fucking traffic bullshit. Like, out of 2 hours, it was fucking
and
miserable.
And all that fucking rain, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, because we did construction, then the rain, which obviously you can't control that.
It rained like the entire time we were driving.
All the trips to and fro while I was in school down there for a year made me hate that drive. And that drive reminded me exactly how much I fucking hate Charlotte and never want to go back.
Until next year at Mad Monster.
Fuck it, man. I'm going to train down there or something.
Yeah.
Something.
We'll see.
Guess why somebody didn't go? Because...
That ride, though.
Because you got in super late last year's Mad
Monster. And I was sick as the devil.
Yeah, you were.
Remember I slept in the car, like when you guys were at one of the panels after...
Oh, that's right.
I was like, fuck you guys.
All right, finally... Our last panelist for the evening, the curmudgeon.
I am not a curmudgeon.
If he was a drink, he'd be a pangalactic gargle blaster.
No, he
like
would
not true.
Like a brick wrapped in gold?
No,
or
he'd be a fine whiskey.
A fine
whiskey. See, that gargle blaster is like a vodka drink, basically.
Is it basically a vodka drink?
Pretty much. Clear.
Oh, fair enough.
It's wrong.
Just like you most of the time.
I'm always correct.
Mr.
And
Crump.
Always smooth and tasting delicious.
Mr. Crump, Mr. Smooth and Tasty is here.
Damn right.
So we got sexual chocolate and smooth and tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Double teaming the mics next to each other here.
He just clouded all over him. It was so hot. He's like all over his face. Like,
and it's almost...
I just clouded so hard, guys.
Wait, did you just give him a vape necklace? Is that?
God damn it.
I smell fruity. I know. It's a candy shop in Crump's nose.
that was Groots' description of the car ride the way down to Mad Monster. It was like a fucking candy shop in here. That was great.
All right, so Hitchhiker's Guide. Absolutely fantastic series of books by none other than the genius madman Douglas Adams. And if you aren't aware, this actually started as a radio play for BBC Radio back in the late 70s. It was one of the first major successful things that Douglas Adams was able to do. And what he actually did before the radio play was he submitted some scripts to Doctor Who, one of which was a script that never got actually produced as a Doctor Who episode, but later on was the main storyline used for Life, the Universe, and Everything. Mm. Was based on originally a script that he wrote for Doctor Who.
Which was the third book. we found out.
No, second or third book?
Third book. Second book's The Diner at the End of the Universe.
Restaurant.
A restaurant.
Restaurant, yeah. The Universe, yeah.
Fine dining, motherfucker.
Boom. Three.
Okay.
I have them listed.
Right. Yeah, Hobbit, you were wrong. You were wrong. Stop talking.
I'm going to get murdered by the internet. Fantastic.
It's about time.
It's been a long time coming.
But I guess my main thought being that Neil Gaiman, who is an iconic writer on his own right, wrote a book about Douglas Adams called Don't Panic, with the story of Hitchhiker's Guide or something along those lines. How much did Douglas Adams' writing style affect just British writers in general? Because you look at his writing style and then you look at Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman, they have their own particular tone, but the comedic inflection on a lot of those are very similar. It's like a similar sense of humor. So
Terry Pratchett is the most like him to my
agree.
Way of thinking.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, basically, when Terry Pratchett's books were pitched to me, they were like, oh, friends were like, oh, you like Douglas Adams. The logical next step is Terry Pratchett, but yeah. I couldn't get behind it because it's like fantasy.
That's the hard thing. I read Good Omens with
Good Omens is good.
Good Omens is awesome.
But the fucking Discworld series,
it's too
like
much.
I read through like three books and I was like, I cannot.
But that being said, and I think it's because it's more on the sci-fi side of that, is that you look at, you know, the ridiculousness of like the tortoise that the world lives on top of and all that. It's so utterly ridiculous, but it fits so in style with Douglas Adams.
Well, the British are a very silly people.
Where do you get this?
They have an entire ministry dedicated to silly walks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, what? They're very silly people. Yeah. Like, they spend a lot of time being buttoned up, and then, like, the other 10% of the time, they're just super silly.
Yeah. Another little tidbit that I learned when I was looking up information
on
this
episode.
Did
you find tidbits?
I did. Speaking of the ministry of silly walks, Douglas Adams also had his hand in Monty Python. He wrote,
all six of them?
At the same time.
As if they were puppets.
How far?
They had to push their butts together. Their butts. So he could use fingers on the same hand.
Are you having difficulty
people.
With the words?
I'm wording hardly today, actually. Yeah.
Up to the elbow.
Up to the elbow.
How many arms did Douglas Adams have to fit him in 6 minutes at the same time?
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. Listen, what I'm saying basically is that he's one of only two writers that weren't part of the Monty Python troupe that got writing credits on Flying Circus.
Oh, wow.
What episode could he have possibly done?
Well, he actually did a couple episodes previous to this, but he actually made an appearance as a surgeon.
Did he?
On one of the episodes.
Really? What episode was it?
Well, I think you could probably guess the number of that episode.
23.
Correct. No. 42.
42? Really?
One of his...
In a row?
Only two...
God damn it. There it is.
How many times are you going to do that?
Try not to cameo in any Monty Python episodes on the way home.
Get back here.
You're just never going to leave any episode alone without Kevin Smith commentary on there.
Have we met?
Yeah, we have, actually. Yeah.
I can't get through a day with this woman.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, episode 42, he played a surgeon. And this is before before he actually had any success with the radio series for Hitchhiker's Guide.
Do tell.
So there's no official commentary from him, but it seems kind of obvious that 42 was taken from the episode that he appeared in Monty Python.
Uh-huh. Learn something new every day.
Every day.
The more you know, like a surgeon.
Oh, God damn it. So that happened. Yeah, so the BBC series became wildly popular, and from that he went into his books. The first Hitchhiker's Guide that was based on that radio series, which was also wildly popular, stemming a number of different books. Does anybody have a favorite outside of the original, like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Is there a sequel to that people prefer that have read?
I mean, I don't know. I enjoy his writing style so much that I enjoyed Restaurant at the End of the Universe because it was a fucking, you know, ridiculous concept.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they were all so much fun. I mean, the first one sets the tone, and I will always probably love that one the best. But I mean, the entire she brought her tome, like the complete Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does she have a compendium?
She does.
Miss Katie brought her
and
her leather-bound book,
and she was stroking it next to her breasts.
And it's far more valuable than
Yeah, I don't find any of them to be lesser than, like, I kind of view them as a unit.
That's a good way to put it, yeah, because they're equally as fantastic, but different storylines, but still the same kind of fantastic tone.
All right, as a person that's never actually read the books, why should I? Why should I read these? Why should I do it?
Because awesome?
No, just go into why it's so good.
The
why
wit.
Because it's awesome.
It's snappy, like, it's a lot of wordplay, and his imagination is just unparalleled.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. It's...
Jinx.
I said, do you enjoy whimsy, sir?
Maybe.
It's whimsy all day.
It's very unexpected. Like, the minute you think you know where it's going somewhere else.
And also, it is definitely sci-fi, but it's such a... bordering on parody of sci-fi.
Fuck yes.
Like the babblefish that we just saw like pop up on the screen with the BBC series we're watching. That is a common trope in sci-fi. The idea of a communicator that allows everybody to speak the same language. It's just a thing used to make things easier. Like anti-gravity or gravity things in spaceships.
It's a device.
Yeah. And, many do it just as a thing you wear, or just like the TARDIS in Doctor Who, where it's just like this perimeter that makes everybody like understand each other. No, Douglas Adams decided it's going to be a fish you stick in your ear.
And it has to slither up in that bitch. Yeah. And it's super uncomfortable.
Like a fucking Star Trek movie.
I like the way that they talk like about two, it. Like
Wrath of Khan?
Yeah, like Wrath of
you
Khan.
You need to calm down. I like the way... I like the way that they
Jody
talk about...
Jody just stank-eyed the shit out of me for that comment. Yeah.
I didn't like realize what was said until I looked at her, and I was like, wait a minute. Chill, Mike. I like the way that they talk about how it's evolutionary. It doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah.
The fact that it was made to be put in your ear so you can understand other people makes God obsolete. That's the part that I love the best about it. It really is...
Well, and that stems into the fact that that Douglas Adams was a self-professed, he called himself an extreme atheist.
Right.
And he said that he was an extreme atheist because he didn't want people to ask him, do you mean agnostic? He's like, no, I firmly believe there is no God.
Was he a snowboarder?
No, actually, he's a very open-minded atheist, but he just liked to preach about atheism with Richard Dawkins. As they were going down the hill together on the slopes.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
While they were listening to Pence Sunday School.
they were fucking like preaching at the X Games, and it was
a little known cameo by Douglas Adams was in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, where the extreme kayakers, Douglas Adams is one of those dudes.
Yeah.
What?
Little known
absolutely.
Fact.
Yeah. After his death.
Oh,
after
God.
His death.
Yeah.
They dug him up.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
so he could make a
Weekend
cameo.
At Bernie's the fuck out of that shit.
That needs to be Weekend at Bernie's 3, where they dig up Douglas Adams and get him a new book contract.
Weekend at Bernie's 3, Hitchhiker's Guide to Harold and Kumar.
Yeah. We have a fucking $1 billion idea now. That's probably going to be the name of the episode. The atheism thing, I think, allowed him the opportunity to explore a just ridiculous sci-fi universe without the structure of, say, like a religious background kind of like fogging up his ability to just go buck wild.
So we're not in a Battlestar Galactica situation.
No. Ford Prefect did not turn into an angel at one point and disappear into the night. Yeah, that did not happen. The Zygons, or not Zygons.
Vogons.
The Vogons did not get weirdly fat one season and then like get skinny all of
no,
them.
No, the Vogons were always
They
fat.
Were always kind of fat.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I really enjoy like the plays on bureaucracy as well.
Yeah,
like,
that's the Vogons are just hysterical to me.
And that actually stems from the first episode that he wrote a scene for Monty Python was about the absurdity and bureaucracy that comes along with office work, where it was stacks and stacks of papers. And listeners, if you know the name of the episode, I don't know it offhand. Please, you know, comment. But it's all about the absurdity of paperwork, and he used that as a reference when coming up with the Vogons.
You know, we could just look down there.
We probably could.
Couldn't we bother?
What is it when they're talking to him about the plans for the bypass that takes down his house, and they're like, they've been on display, and he says that, you know, he goes down into the basement and it's behind all the shit. And then
he had to have a flashlight.
Mind the leopard.
Right.
Yeah.
In the basement with no stairs and a flashlight and the leopard and a bathroom.
I've worked in local government. Hilarious to me.
Right.
And also, I love how they paralleled the whole his house being destroyed to the entire earth being destroyed in the same moment.
Yeah. Where
the plans have been on display at Alpha Centauri for 50 of your earth years.
Yeah, fair enough. There is a lot of authoritarian statements that go along with those books. Where
libertarian theme?
Not necessarily. I would say
there are some influences.
There are some influences, but I would say it's more a sign of the time. And in the late 70s, it was also the influence that kind of created like the punk rock ideologies in the UK at the time as well, where there was a garbage person strike. There was Maggie T was running things, and there was just a lot of governmental issues at the time. And I think that was the main inspiration for the commentary on bureaucracy with the Vogon was from what was happening in the UK at the time.
So all said and done, you would really like these, Crump.
Your sense of humor is
right up your alley. I mean, you enjoy Monty Python quite a bit.
Glad that you know what my alley is and you like going up it.
Oh,
you know, I know you a little bit.
It's a super biblical sense.
It's a super snappy read too. Like it's really, the words kind of fall off the page on you. Like it's not laborious at all.
Not at all. No.
Yeah, it's cotton candy. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that it's not a hard read. Yeah.
No, not at all.
And because of all the whimsy, it's one of those that you're just super excited for the next part. You know, because it's just so goofy. It's goofy.
And it's so fucking random because, like, you'll have these fucking asides where what is it? What is it that Arthur says? Something about how he's not paying enough attention to his lifestyle. And then they go, what is it, Katie?
It's, he says that
I'm not,
I can't remember, but then it goes into the war thing.
Yeah, it goes into this aside where his words echo back through time to a pivotal moment in a war in planet.
Yeah.
And like his words echo in, and in that language, it's like a horrible insult and like for no reason.
Yeah.
For no reason. It's like pages of this random shit about. But it's very entertaining.
Well, also the explanation on the improbability drive for the spaceship is bonkers.
Mm.
Absolutely fucking bonkers. Where just there's talk of like that it was used as a thing at parties to move everybody 1 foot away from
their underwear.
One foot to the left of them. Yeah.
And then the people who created it were upset because they weren't invited to those types of parties.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's somebody that does not take themselves all that seriously at all.
It's hysterical.
Oh, absolutely. And
so basically he's not a modern atheist.
Oh, that takes things too seriously?
Yes.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
He's a silly atheist.
Well, part of that is that though he was an atheist, he always had a real interest in religion in society, and not so much about religion itself, but how it was utilized in society and altered the way that people's behavior due to their belief systems. It was a major interest to him, and you can kind of tell by the different cultures that you run across in Hitchhiker's Guide that he had a real interest in, like the planet with the people that had created deodorant before they created the wheel or something.
Yeah.
And that he just had a real playfulness with
the whole Hama Kavula thing.
Yeah. He had a playfulness with it where I don't think he took his atheism or religion really all that seriously. It was silly that people took it too seriously.
He's just full absurdist.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
So he's basically the opposite of Sam Harris as an atheist, which is fine by me because I can't stand that guy.
Yeah. The funny thing with that is that Richard Dawkins, it's made many statements on this fact that Douglas Adams is a major inspiration to him.
Yeah.
And Dawkins is not exactly a whimsical atheist at all.
He's not very silly.
Yeah, he's not that silly.
No, but
his haircut is silly.
He kind of is straightforward about it, though. He's not a dick.
Mm-hmm. The Noam Chomsky of atheism. just really dry and straightforward. So, opening up the floor, what do you guys got on Hitchhiker's Guide?
I'll say some things.
Sure.
No, yes.
You ready for me?
Okay, I'm prepared.
So I don't know how everybody else got involved in it, but I saw the movie first. Because the movie was like, what, 2005?
2005.
Yeah.
It was indeed.
So that was when I graduated high school.
Dear God.
Yeah. And so I probably saw it a year or two later. And I love Martin Freeman. Love, love him. Everything he's in except for The Hobbit. I love him so much.
Why are you going to hate on Hobbits?
Dude, I am so not into like Lord of the Rings Hobbit stuff. It's not my jam.
You're not into the Hobbit stuff?
No, sorry,
that's a good
man.
Thing that we never dated.
Katie and I just did an invisible across the room.
It's called a sterile high five.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings would have ended better if the Hobbit genocide actually happened.
Hey. Sorry, but anyway,
those are my people, motherfucker.
I like him.
Typical German.
I like Mos Def a whole lot. So that, yeah. Like, it sucked me in. Then I got this big, beautiful baby. And I read it 3 times when I first got it. And
what's
then I
the
lost
big,
it.
Beautiful baby?
The big, beautiful baby is the entire collection of The Hitchhiker's Guide.
That you're holding right now?
That I'm holding right now.
You're Vanna Whiting it?
I am Vanna Whiting it.
That's a really nice binding. That
yeah,
looks like a Bible.
It's kind of like loose right now because I lent it to a friend and I don't know. Sorry.
Is it loose from use?
Yeah. Yes. So I read it a bunch and I just got it back after not having it for 2 years and I'm pretty stoked on it. So nice. I love this book.
Now, how long ago did you last read any Douglas Adams stuff?
Yesterday.
well, I mean, before you got the book
before
back.
I got the book back, yeah. None, not at all. I think it was kind of one of those things where I would periodically pick it up and
exactly.
You know,
okay,
and obsessively listen to Radiohead. Yeah,
so like just listening to like,
have you ever heard Subterranean Homesick Alien?
Probably.
It's so perfect with this book. I played it over and over again, which today I noticed, if anybody else here didn't, Paranoid Android is also on OK Computer, yep. Which is Marvin.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which today it totally clicked, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
Not lost on me. I feel so close to you right now.
I mean...
They're so scissoring from across.
Seriously. Dude, you literally beat me to it by a second.
Sanitary. Yes.
smells like scissoring.
So, Katie, what you're saying is you're not the only one that reads this book naked, right?
I don't.
You don't read it naked?
No.
No. That's unfortunate.
Paper cuts are painful.
Yeah. That is true.
It's gold bound. It doesn't hurt.
Gold is a natural analgesic.
There you go.
It's fine.
Hey.
I sound like a broken record on all these podcasts, but I got into Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy because of my parents.
Okay.
See, none of that stuff was like that for me, man. My parents were like, oh, music, metal, blah.
My dad,
what space?
My dad always had the books in his study, and I was always interested in them and finally read them because my dad was interested in them. Was actually kind of disappointed in the movie when it came out.
Really?
But yeah.
That was something I was going to bring up in the second half, is the people seem to be very disappointed in that movie.
I don't get it. I loved it. I loved it.
Well,
I loved it also.
You saw it first.
I did see it first, and then I read the book. But I'll tell you, there's been many times where I've saw stuff first, then read the book, and still cared for the movie.
Yeah.
But I think that's just...
And I mean, I'm glad for the movie. Like, I'll still rewatch the movie, but it wasn't what I wanted it to be. I didn't feel like it captured the spirit.
It could have been a series. Totally.
Yeah. Mm. And, like, they brought in weird things from other books, and, like, it just seemed very kind of muddled to me.
And, like, random.
I remember being very disappointed in it. But, again, I'll still watch it. Like, It's still a
sweet little movie.
The fucking musical number with the dolphins.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
I've been singing it for days.
And I can almost guarantee that's going to be the lead-in music that we put on this episode. I mean, it makes no sense not to do that.
To be honest, I would say one thing. Is that just much like the dude,
so long and thanks for
all. I hate the fucking Eagles. However, the theme song for the radio drama and the TV series and maybe even the movie is from an Eagles song.
Jesus Christ.
And
not from the movie, no.
And it's like when Eagles was doing their 70s prog rock wizard, you know, fantasy wizard thing, which was a weird migration because we all know Hotel California and hate them because of it.
When did they do some prog rock?
It was, I don't even know.
About
then. But the theme song is from.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great
I know that
little track. Well, Douglas Adams himself was a huge music fan, and mainly he was a diehard Pink Floyd fan.
Yes.
To the point where even his biography is shares the title of a Floyd album. It's called Wish You Were Here. And not only that, but he references Pink Floyd several times in the original radio plays. Not all of that actually translated into the books.
Right.
But also, he was very close friends with the lead singer of Procol Harum. To the point where he appeared on stage a couple times with them, him being a guitarist himself, guitarist and pianist.
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 Is that how you're supposed to say it? Pianist?
Pianist.
Not pianist?
Like P-N-I-S-T.
It's supposed pianist? To sound like penis.
Okay. I was just checking. I thought that I was saying it wrong, and I was just like, wait a minute.
An accomplished pianist sounds like somebody pianist? That did some weird shit for art.
I'm like a flautist.
A flautist. But yeah, he's appeared on stage a couple times, or did appear on stage a couple times with Procol Harum to do a song or two with him.
On stage, you say?
On stage. He was a left-handed guitarist that had a ton of guitars, being a guitar nerd
so
as well as...
So he was Matt Myra.
He was the Matt Myra of British ridiculous sci-fi, yes. Yes. And I think Pink Floyd seems like a good soundtrack to read... a Hitchhiker's Guidebook too,
like Dark Side.
Yeah,
does
yeah.
it match up?
Not
man.
The wall.
Do you have to time your right reading to the music?
Yeah, speed readers aren't going to get the right effect.
But no, like I wouldn't say the wall, but I could see Dark Side of the Moon because it still has that like ethereal
kind of feel to it. Yeah, kind of spacey.
Yeah, that makes sense for me. Like I actually, it was kind of at the same time. Like I read the book before the movie, but it was literally I read the book like 3 days before I went and saw the movie because when the movie came out, co-worker was like, we were just talking about movies and blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, yeah, and they're doing a Hitchhiker's movie, and it's coming out soon. I'm like, okay. Like, I gave two shits. I didn't know what it was. He's like, yeah. You don't know Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? I'm like, no, I have no idea. And he's like, all right. And then, like, literally 2 days later, he brought the book in. He's like, read this. It's a short book. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll read it. Yeah. Fucking solid read. Like, how have I been missing this? Because, like, I think at that point there was, yeah, all of them were out at that point because the last one came out in 2001.
Yeah, I want to say about 2000.
Yes, something like that. Yeah. Well, no, so, he died in 2001, so it was probably
the last
like,
book was finished by
during
somebody
the
else.
Space Odyssey.
It was 2009. Yeah.
The last book was finished by somebody else.
Salmon of
2009.
Doubt. Salmon of Doubt was the last book, right?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, he died in. When did he die?
2001.
2001.
Okay.
I think so.
But I read that book and I loved it, and then I think the movie came out like that Friday. By the time I finished the book. And went and saw it. And seeing it that close together from reading it, yeah, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't. But I hadn't read any of the other books.
When you have 2 hours to compress, you know, the entire sort of, like, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy world, you know, and you can't tell all the stories, you can't have all the characters in there, but you can kind of give the audience a taste. Looking at it that way, it's okay. I like it all
right. Right.
And also at a time when the 2 hour was still considered long. If it were to come out now, a good 2.5 hours
wouldn't
be
a big
45
deal.
Minutes wouldn't be a big deal.
No, not at all.
You know,
I have to say though, the best thing about that movie, one of my favorite things about that movie, is the casting of Alvin Rick.
Yes.
Oh my god,
yes.
It's so perfect.
Yeah. He was so funny.
Oh my god.
Which a little nerdy side note, that is not the first time that Mos Def and Alan Rickman worked together. There was a HBO movie called Something the Lord Made about blue babies. That Alan Rickman played a surgeon and Mos Def played a like a black janitor or something like that ended up like helping figure out how to fix blue babies, like the babies that have like breathing issues where they turn blue from not getting enough oxygen. So,
you're telling me the janitor was black?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought he was a nurse.
Or maybe a nurse or something.
I think he was a nurse.
Yeah, something like that.
I've seen that before.
Out.
It's really good.
Oh,
I know
great.
What you're talking about.
So he's black, he has to be a janitor?
That's what I'm saying.
Is
like,
that
so you're telling me the janitor's black?
Did you know that Warwick Davis was in the suit?
Yeah, he was the one in the suit. Yeah.
Oh, I did know that, actually. Yeah. Which, if you're going to get a midget, a British midget, I mean...
Fucking Warwick Davis.
You get Warwick
Davis.
What
other work is he getting?
Yeah.
He hasn't done shit. Leprechaun movies.
If you do American, you do Vern Troyer. If you do British, you do Warwick Davis.
Oh, Vern Troyer is such a disappointment
when
it comes
God,
to
yes.
midgets.
Oh,
what about...
I'm serious.
Such a disappointment when it comes to midgets.
Oh, I guess if you're comparing him and Peter Dinklage, like he's
awesome.
Terrible.
Dinklage is amazing.
Dinklage
okay.
is better than
and
most.
Warwick
like
Davis is fantastic.
Most actors in the world.
I mean, he even did. There was like a series that he starred in as himself.
Yeah,
like,
Warwick. Yeah,
Life is Short. Life is Short
is
phenomenal.
It's
hilarious.
I mean, there's
it's
a, so there's good, a lot man. Of really, you know, class act midgets out there, but. I'm saying, Vern and Troyer sucks.
Save that for the midget episode.
Yeah, because they're not human, so there's some class act ones.
No, no, they're like halflings. Without getting like
this
fantasy.
This part's getting totally edited. Jesus.
No, leave no, this.
No, please. This is beautiful.
I'm keeping this in. Holy shit, yeah.
No, they're not tall enough to reach their keyboards to complain.
Oh my gosh.
All I'm saying is that as soon as Vern Troyer.
You try to type out a complaint with fat midget sausage fingers, like you're not going to get anything out.
This is out of control.
Have you ever seen a midget try to text? Ugh.
Vernon Troyer, all I'm saying about Vernon Troyer is that as soon as he was in Austin Powers, after that he was just like he was
a drunk, crazy
playmates
person.
And he was drunk all the time. Yeah. He was just an asshole.
But is he even a midget? He's like smaller than a midget. Like, what is he classified as?
Oh, he's just
I don't know that midget is a classification. Just saying, no.
Oh, okay.
No, it was.
He's just a midget.
There's like different levels. There, it's not like a midget in a height? Tall person. Yeah. There's like people with that one. What is it called?
There's dwarfism. There's midget and all that. And they all just get offended now. So fuck.
God. Anyway, we were talking about Marvin and.
But I do want to. I do want to put a caveat on the whole Peter Dinklage thing. I think the major difference between Warwick Davis, let's say for example, Life is Short. A lot of those jokes are about him being a midget in a non-midget society. Like when he has to climb the bookshelves to get his like award or something.
Yeah.
And it's or try to get in and out of a car, and it's funny as shit, but
he
it's totally
a big car.
It's totally midget jokes.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at Peter Dinklage and the time that he's done a lot of stuff, the only thing that he's done where it's even really talked about much that he's a midget is in Game of Thrones. But part of the reason that he did that was because George R. R. Martin wrote that with him in mind.
Elf.
The Station Agent. There's a series, if you have a chance, it's out of print, but it's on Amazon, called Threshold, where he plays a scientist. And Data from Star Trek is a bizarre hippie scientist that he works with. And it's phenomenal. One season, but it's great.
I don't think midget is the preferred nomenclature, dude.
Little
I
mean, person. Like... Yes.
Well, Elf. Well,
they can want a lot of things, but guess what? No. Till they're actually voting block, fuck them.
No, but like... Peter Dinklage is an elf, and they make fun of him being short in that, too.
Is he, oh,
he's
yeah.
He's a business guy.
That's
he's
right.
Like, say elf one more time.
and he's in Lords of Badassdom.
Yeah,
oh,
but even in Lords of Badassdom,
they don't
comment a whole lot
fuck
on
with
him
at all.
Person. And I think that's the main difference, is that he gets roles based on his prowess as an actor.
And also the fact that he doesn't sound like a goddamn midget.
No, he's got a fantastic voice. Holy shit, he's got
unlike
a voice.
You with that.
Well,
I don't think Warwick Davis does either. Voice.
Did anybody see Tiptoes? Because he represented as the only actual like midget, like main character, whereas Gary Oldman was pretending to be a midget.
No, no, the Bridget the Midget was in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
She was the tattooed girlfriend of Gary Oldman that...
the slut, yeah.
That what's his face from...
Well, she was.
What's his face from, like, in Living Color or something fucked her?
I don't know.
Jim Carrey?
No, not Jim Carrey. One of the other
that
dudes.
Movie was kind of like midget exploitation.
Though. Oh, it was midget exploitation.
What about Time
Bandits?
Time Bandits was amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. Speaking of people that are directly in that line of humor with Douglas Adams, yeah.
Holy crap!
Yeah, Terry Gilliam is like the visual version of Douglas Adams's brain.
Yeah, yeah.
That's who they should have got to make the fucking movie.
Oh my god, they got Terry Gilliam to do a fucking Douglas Adams
movie? How about they do the sequels? Like, they can make the four books into a movie.
No, you know, I would call just for a reboot at this point.
I know, but Martin Freeman is so good as Arthur Dent.
Well,
they can get him.
Well, then get him back.
The Lord of the Rings is done. He can do it. It's not like he's busy with something else.
Well, Sherlock.
Sherlock.
Yeah, but Sherlock is so far in between,
true.
Dude. Like,
true.
I'm sure he could get a break from recording.
And he's not in the most recent
season
of Fargo, is he? He's only in the first season.
Yeah.
I love him so much. My God.
Yeah, that's... listen up there, BBC. Like, we have any poll whatsoever. I think we have, like, one or two UK listeners.
But... And let's face it, the UK doesn't care what America is.
I hope none of them are little people.
I know, God.
Watch, it's going to be, like, 30% of our listenership are little people, and then it's like, well, we just fucked ourselves.
Well,
like...
represent.
Shit.
Holy fuck.
To all our little people listeners, thank you so much for listening to GUI up to this point. I'm so sorry to see you go.
They've already turned it off, baby. They're not going to hear it.
Yeah. Apologies, useless.
I miss you. Come back to me. Take your time. I know it takes longer for you to walk than most people.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, the anyway. Letters we're going to get.
Anyway.
Yeah, so.
We're going to get in trouble if we don't break soon.
Yeah, actually, we're about ready for the second half.
Let's say, what about,
yeah, just
what about
Sam Rockwell? Fucking room.
He did great in the
movie. Yes, he was the best. Awesome. That was fantastic. Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, but when is Sam Rockwell not awesome? He's the most underrated, and he's awesome.
He was okay in Iron Man 2. He wasn't, like, the greatest.
That wasn't
like,
the role. He was fine.
I feel like I don't see him in enough stuff.
He was
anymore.
Great in Seven Psychopaths.
Yes, he was.
And what is it?
Awesome in Green Mile.
Stories of a Dangerous Mind.
Confessions
of a Dangerous Mind. Mile.
Yeah, he was.
He was fucking great. Awesome.
Oh, God. Yeah, he was good in that. So, yeah, we'll get into. Actually, we'll probably start after what we're drinking with the 2005 movie and really dig deep into that because we've only hit on that briefly. So, stick around. We'll be right back after the commercial break with what we're drinking and the rest of our Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy episode.
And midget bashing.
And, well, we did plenty on the first half, but we'll see. Stay tuned. We're halfway through episode 42 of Geeks Under the Influence, our Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy episode. And before we continue, let's talk about our sponsors and friends of the show. First up is LornaDigital.com. Our friend Lorna built a beautiful website that you can see at gypodcast.com. You can check out all her other work at LornaDigital.com. She did us a huge favor by setting up a gorgeous website. Check out that and also all of her other work at LornaDigital.com. Tell her that you heard about her on Geeks Under the Influence, and you will get the Friends and Family discount. So check that out. Also, we are now affiliates with Amazon.com. Go to GUIPodcast.com and click on the Shop Amazon link on the homepage. And any purchases that you make through that link, we get a little bit of a cut. That means that you can buy the cool shit that you want and not put any money towards us exactly, but we still get a little bit of that profit. So check us out. Support the podcast. Without really that much effort, so please check that out. You can also support us at Patreon at patreon.com/GUI podcast. That is a more direct way to give us money. There's a number of monthly patron options that you can do from $5 up, and each different option has a number of different things that you get from us, whether it be koozies or individual voicemail messages or ringtone options, all sorts of cool stuff. So check that out at patreon.com/GUI podcast. Next up, our friends of the show. These are other podcasts around Richmond that we are friends with, that we've been on theirs or they've been on ours, or there's future plans for either one. First up is River City Shit Show. Our friend Kron, that has been on a number of episodes, has a kind of a roast of popular culture video podcast that you can find on YouTube, where they talk about current events and put their own little insights into it. It's highly offensive, so if you are not easily offended or want to be offended, that is the video podcast for you, available on YouTube. Next up is Black Leather Couch. Our friend Carlton does an interview podcast where he talks about all the insights to rock stars and porn stars and even little drunken podcasts like this one. You can check out the Geeks Under the Influence episode at Black Leather Couch on YouTube, so check that out. We also have a video game Let's Play available on YouTube called Instant Replay Live. Our buddies there are two brothers that give each other shit and talk about mostly like Steam video games. It's a lot of fun, 10 to 20 minutes, perfect for your lunch break, so check them out as well. Also, check us out at GUIPodcast.com, Twitter, at GUIPodcastRBA, Tumblr, Facebook, or subscribe to us at Stitcher or iTunes. And also, please review us on iTunes. Those reviews, and they really move us up in the rankings and allows more people the opportunity to listen to this shit show. So please, rate and review and subscribe. And back to the episode. We are back for the second half of our Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy episode of Geeks Under the Influence. And before we continue any further, like most second halves, we're going to talk about what we're drinking. So first off, let me send it over to Lowdown, who was nice enough to bring a special little treat for us to try.
Yeah, this is by Founders. It's a Mango Magnifico. And it is a mango ale brewed with a hint of habanero. And a bit of a heavy hitter. It's at right at 10%. Flavor-wise, it's really sweet at first. And you get a little bit of throat burn at the back end from the habanero. The middle of it's kind of, I mean, a little bit. We both like really spicy stuff, so I guess it depends on your palate.
It has a little bit of a heat touch on the finish, but it's just a minor accent.
Yeah,
on
I was gonna say it's a very mild.
Mango's a tiny bit overpowering.
Yeah, I was gonna say it almost the middle of it almost has like a slightly cough syrupy taste to it. I'm really not digging on it.
It's
that
a little
much.
Too sweet for me.
Maybe that's what it is. It just doesn't.
And who was that? That
Founders.
Founders.
And they're usually
really good, but it's darker beers too. Most Founders beers that I've had have been like their stouts or their porters,
which have been excellent.
Exactly. So, not so much on this though. But no. I saw it and it was worth a try. I like. I've recently gotten to where I like beers with peppers. Like Strange Ways had that ghost chili beer. That's really good.
When I remember on I think a couple of the early episodes, I had the Billy's Chili's beer.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and crisp with a good little solid heat to it.
Yeah. See, I don't mind that. This is just, I don't know, man. I'm not.
Or, you know, the little bit of heat that you get on the East Coast local beer that was brewed that we will discuss more further on our next boozer episode.
Well, I can't because I didn't drink any of that, so.
Oh, no, there's plenty.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, we have a bunch.
Oh, yeah. We saved a bunch. Okay. Set aside.
Yeah, it's set aside for our next boozer where we pop them open and talk about the beer that we brewed on the last boozer.
Nice.
Because it's fucking excellent.
It's really goddamn good. So,
if anybody saw the images that were posted from that shit show, I don't know how anything good came from that.
Both of the brewers are surprised anything good came from that.
So it'll be Bob and Dale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
outside of that, I'm drinking the Brooklyn Summer Ale from Brooklyn Brewing Company out of New York. And it's just a damn good, crisp beer. Yes, it really is. It's just refreshing, crisp beer. Nothing special. Like, good, nice flavored, not overpowering, just a good solid beer. It only comes out at summer, apparently. God damn it.
Yeah.
Even though it's would have been nice when it was 2 days ago when it was like 80 or like 78. And I saw it. I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm still buying it. And no, it's like 50 right now because Virginia weather.
Because Virginia
that's how
weather.
We do. Yeah.
So those are the two you're sipping on.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got, Crump?
Right now I'm sipping on the High West double rye that Grits brought over.
Nice.
Very mellow for a rye. Not the usual amount of pepper on the tongue that I'm used to with a rye. It's very mellow, very drinkable. Yeah. Can't complain about it. I just when I'm drinking rye, I'm thinking a little spicier than this, but it's good.
Relatively smooth. Grits, you got anything else on that one since you brought it?
Yeah, it's it's a double rye. It's a blend of two. One's a very young rye, 2 year rye that's like very heavy on the rye, 95%. And the other one's a 16 year blend, which I believe is like 55 or so, 53%. I think it's interesting. I bought it sight unseen, and I'm enjoying it. You know, it's not the most head punching rye I've ever had, but it does have a smoothness. I dig it.
Nice.
I'm thinking that 16-year-old has a whole lot of corn in that mash bill.
I believe it does. Let me see if I can't confirm that for you. Yes. The extra age and increased corn adds just enough caramel sweetness and woody vanilla richness to calm the bite of the younger one.
Yep. It's so weird that you just came off the cuff like that with all that information.
Yeah. 53% rye and 37% corn on that 16-year-old.
It sounds like you were just reading the label or something.
I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good God, I know whiskey.
It's a good thing to know, man.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm currently drinking three things. First up is my PBR, the baseline beer that I'm drinking this evening. Next up is a lovely little mix of vodka and limeade and Sprite. I think that it was a combo platter. I did the pitcher. I think who brought the limeade?
No, she brought the limes and the 7-Up.
I think you were actually speaking and not just pointing.
Yeah, pointing doesn't really work on an audio podcast.
I thought about it.
Katie made it. I just brought what I was told to bring.
Okay. Yeah, but it was a group effort. And it's nice. It's summery. Very summery. Yeah.
And it's cold. Again, it's too cold for it, but yeah. Whatever. It's still
and I'm
delicious.
Also tasting on the mango habanero beverage that Lowdown was nice enough to bring. It is a little bit too syrupy for me. It's the sweetness factor is a little bit high on that one for me. But still, I was learning to clean my plate and drink my drinks growing up, so I'm not going to waste any booze as I get past more.
Yeah,
that's not going to work out well for me.
You can have you have to go anywhere, you'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, next one up. Jody
just drinking Katie's limeade, but as per my use, it does involve vodka, so it's in care.
Okay. Yeah, I mean you rich women on diet cut kind of thing, so
mm-hmm.
Yep. And Grits, we already covered you. You're doing the whiskey primarily, right? That's mainly.
Yeah, I'm doing the High West whiskey, but Crump was so gracious to let me try the best Ardbeg creation I've ever tasted. What's the name of this one again, Crump?
Ugadol.
Ugadol. Fantastic. Worth every penny. It is like scotch nectar.
Nice. Nice.
It's fantastic.
And Miss Katie, you were drinking on the summery beverage of choice this
Yes,
evening?
I'm drinking the limeade as well. And it's yummy. And
the end. That was a very, very in-depth.
It's some Pinnacle vodka, citrus vodka with 7-Up and some squeezed limes.
Nice, nice.
It's, and then you kind of mush them around a little bit. It's real good.
All right. Fair enough.
She worked very hard on it.
I did not. I just had straining faces that she thought was amusing.
Why did everybody go NPR radio voice all of a sudden? We're all Terry Grossing really fucking hard right now.
Good times. Good times.
It was good. Let's talk really quiet.
Katie, next time, do you think we should bring some sweaty balls?
Some sweaty balls.
Okay. Excellent. That's good time.
Thank you.
On the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, we're going to get more further into Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
More further.
It's a term that's actually got Arabic history. That's where that term initially came from.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Good fun.
Yeah, I think it's a great time, personally. Okay, we got to stop that shit right now.
Thank you.
My God.
When we went to break, I talked briefly with Jody.
When do you ever speak briefly?
That is a very fair point. But Jody was nice enough to share with us a little story about little people from her time growing up in Wise. So before we start, I think that's important to share with our listeners.
Oh, well, my friend Matt convinced the one little person in our high school to dress up in costume. And for the talent show, they did the safety dance together.
So they did the S dance move
kind of
thing?
Oh, yeah. No, and he dressed him up like a little jester. And he skipped around the stage. It was pretty amazing.
And what did you call
him? Wait. Y'all have mountain midgets?
Just the one
mountain.
There can only be one.
It's like the Highlander of Appalachia.
Mountain midget.
Pint-sized Highlander. Highlander 0.5.
I think he paid the mountain midget for his services, but it was worth it.
Dude, you guys set up a midget tossing company in Appalachia. He's going to be making hand over fist because there's no competition.
Did he get 3/5 of a vote there?
No, honey, not more than half.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you're looking at a third best in that situation.
Yeah, he weren't no 3/5, but
when we left this episode, we were talking about kind of like the buildup of Douglas Adams and all the different adaptations of Hitchhiker's Guide and the following books, but we haven't really dug too much into the 2005 movie that we actually have on TV right now. We're watching Martin Freeman the midget and Mos Def the rapper fucking shit up in a spaceship right now. So I went and saw this in the theater when it came out.
Really?
Yeah, I think opening day.
Oh, I bet that was so awesome.
That was super fun. The minute that So Long and Thanks for All the Fish song came on, I knew that I was in for a good time.
And I love the way that they make the guy look. I love that.
Compared to like the DOS of the TV show
we just watched. Yeah.
What, like an iPad?
No.
It's like an iPad.
iPads weren't invented in 2005.
Okay.
It was the proto iPad.
It was the
proto iPad.
The iPhone wasn't even out in 2005.
Every smartphone that I've ever had has had the home screen message. You know, you can make it say like Jody's phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. They've all said don't panic. Because nice. I feel like smartphones are the Hitchhiker's Guide to our galaxy.
Nice. And also you're high strung.
It's true.
I mean, I feel like the whole saying itself is very helpful in my life. So.
I was on the phone briefly with my brother during the break, and I mentioned the topic of this podcast, and he said, well, you know, in a way, Wikipedia is actually kind of like the Earth-centric version of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and I thought that was a point worth sharing.
Well, when I was reading up on this episode, one thing that I learned is that part of the inspiration for Hitchhiker's Guide is that Douglas Adams was hanging out looking at the stars laying on grass one day, and he had just been recently reading The Hitchhiker's Guide to Europe, mm-hmm. which was a book about, you know, just traveling through Europe on the cheap, and he thought to himself, why is there not a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? And he himself admits that he doesn't remember the actual story on how he came up with it, because that was the tidbit that he's told time and time again on interviews and everything like that. So that's the popular version of how he came up with this this story.
Zen and the Art of Towel Maintenance.
Zen and the Art of Towel Maintenance, which I will bring up. There are a number of people, Ms. Jody and Anthony.
That number is two.
Yeah, that number is two, because that's I didn't even think of it. That is, and she even number. Told me, she even warned me, like, subconsciously, to bring my towel, and I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I meant to bring one as well.
Don't
but
forget
I didn't.
To bring a towel.
Yeah.
No? All right.
No.
Stop changing your voice to anything.
Yeah, my impression
is irritating enough on its own. We don't need a variant.
I sent Katie a text message earlier in which I called her a frood. And then I said, you sass that hoopy Katie Cummings? There's a frood who always knows where her towel is.
And I disagreed.
She still didn't bring her towel.
I disagreed. I said, I don't know about a frood. Might be hoppy, but I'm not a frood. Hoopy.
Let's not get the internet mad at you from stating something.
Hoopy.
Yeah, but we brought our towels. Nobody else brought towels. We're also the only people wearing subject matter appropriate t-shirts, I think.
Yeah, you've got a Zaphod Beeblebrock for President t-shirt, and Anthony's got a Don't Panic t-shirt on.
That's
and
right.
Large friendly letters across his chest.
Yes, his manly man boob chest. So, yeah, now we're coming in force on Hitchhiker's Guide. And honestly, I'd say probably opening it up to, we discussed briefly how we feel about this version of Hitchhiker's Guide, the first real posthumously.
You mean posthumous?
That one. That yeah. word that you said?
Yeah.
That one. Major version of Hitchhiker's Guide that came out after.
I don't know what that word means.
After dead.
Oh, okay.
AD.
Yeah. AD.
After death.
Yeah. You know that it's not Anno Domine, it's after death is what AD stands for.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
Done?
I took Latin. I know.
From whom did you take it?
From Jesus himself. So, and Jesus was her history teacher in high school?
No, we had Latin teachers in the mountains. Oh, it's okay. A well-guarded secret. Salve, Magistra.
That's making its way to a notification tone. So yeah, I got to see this in the theater and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And
well, touch you, bitch.
Oh.
Them's his fighting words.
There's a certain smirk that Crump makes when he says statements like that that I think is so lost on this being an audio podcast.
We really do need to like live stream a podcast for like Patreon subscribers.
Then everyone can see where I'm pointing.
Ooh, that's actually a really good call, that if you Patreon, you get the private link to the YouTube of us doing this shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I think that's a good idea.
You can see all the withering looks I give you.
Oh my god, your fucking stank eye is serious.
You know what? That could be the uncut version too.
Oh, it would have to be, because I'm not gonna fuck around with trying to edit the same for audio and video. Like none of that. So yeah, we'll look into that. We'll see if we can do.
Yeah, Patreon subscribers, you can watch with more withering glances and racism.
Yes. Oh. We'll make sure Kron's not on the episodes that we have video.
Nobody wants to see that.
No one wants to see Kron either.
That's what I said.
The Gimli of Geeks Under the Influence. Yeah.
The live-action Weeble Wobble that will fall down.
Will fall down and then lays on the floor of Wonderland in all its sticky glory.
Oh,
and,
God.
And
shirtless.
Shirtless.
Oh. Of course shirtless.
So gross.
God, when the shirt fucking
Wonderland
comes off,
Wonderland
4
after
y'all.
Like a at capacity? No. It's no.
Repugnant. Repugnant.
I've never seen a gut that's so solid. Like, you touch it and there's just no give.
Didn't he put a cigar in his belly button one time?
If he hasn't, he's doing it wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good times.
Good times. Good times. Yeah, that's good. So, this came out in 2005. Great soundtrack. And was actually the result of Douglas Adams himself trying to get a film made since, like, the early to mid-90s, I want to say. They worked on a treatment in the early 90s and went through development initially with Disney and went back and forth. And like a lot of projects, it took decades to get it done, and or at least a decade. And this is the result. And I think it's, at least in spirit, a very good representation of kind of the tone of Hitchhiker's Guide. Jody's given me kind of a half look here.
I was just really disappointed in it. I mean... I'll watch it over and over, but it just didn't feel right to me. It felt too, like, stylized. It's frustrating because I'm on a podcast where I'm expected to articulate my feelings on things, and I can't articulate it. It just didn't feel right. Anthony?
It's too Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, I said that, so did I articulate it after all?
I don't know. It's very special effects laden. Yes, it hit on some of the points, and it had the voiceover and the
Shit from later books,
the guide and everything. But I think overall it was too cramped because you're dealing with a 2-hour movie and
right. I mean, you're dealing with the one book. Like, why are you going to bring in shit from the other books and like confuse the issue as well? Like,
it was kind of a greatest hits. Yeah. Kind of a greatest hits movie mashup. And to bring it back before to what we said before, I mean,
are you bringing it back?
Yeah, bringing it back. It should have been Terry Gilliam.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
That's a revelation that, yes, needed to happen. It should have been Terry Gilliam directing this movie as the first of several, maybe. And it's a damn shame that those creative forces did not come together.
Because I couldn't see Terry Gilliam having an issue with that. I mean, with directing a Douglas Adams film.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, he's done adaptations before.
And it's not normally a thing that he does, but it's the right project. And I think Douglas Adams would be that kind of project.
I mean, if I remember correctly, I believe The Fisher King was a novel or a book.
I believe it was a comic, actually.
Was it a comic?
I think.
Man, that's going back. And I know, 12 Monkeys was based off of, a very inventive short film called Les Jetés,
mm-hmm.
Which was shot. It was like a sequence of stills. It wasn't even really a motion picture per se, but brilliant.
Yeah. Speaking of brilliant, we talked about Sam Rockwell a little bit, but he just came on screen.
He's so funny in this damn movie.
He is absolutely ridiculous.
He's so good.
Zaphod.
He's just this guy, you know?
And Malkovich.
And Malkovich is.
Yeah.
Malkovich?
Malkovich, Malkovich?
Malkovich.
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 Malkovich. Malkovich.
Malkovich.
And then there's obviously Jason Schwartzman comes in and does a little cameo.
Was that Zooey Deschanel?
Yeah, Zooey Deschanel is Trillion, bitch.
Yeah, and that's one of my more modern crushes is Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, because you're a nerd and you have to.
No, if you're a nerd, you're like required by law to like Zooey Deschanel.
Because you get boner for hipster?
Pretty much.
Actually, I'm not
sure
why. Like the hipster look.
Of the boner.
I wouldn't consider myself a hipster necessarily myself, but like hipster girls are pretty. And
she was in an episode of Frasier.
Ooh, really?
Yes, she was.
I was not aware of that.
Five?
I didn't know.
No. She's older than she looks.
Because she looks like she's like 22. Look at those glasses. Ugh.
No, but she played a teenager in Frasier.
Huh. Oh, so that would make me feel really awkward about being attracted to her.
In Frasier, yes.
This has been a really good episode of Talk Salad and Scrambled Eggs.
We have Alan Rickman.
Hey, y'all. Marvin!
Yeah, thus enters Alan Rickman as
Marvin.
As Marvin, the robot.
The paranoid robot. Android.
The paranoid android, yes.
Enter the costume that gave Warwick Davis neck problems for his whole life. Look at the size of that head.
Yeah.
The noggin.
That's almost as big as my Ooh. Head. It's almost.
Look at the size of that head.
But it's perfect.
It's
huge!
Trying to sleep on his huge pillow.
It's gargantuan!
It's like Sputnik!
Did we just so I married an axe murderer of the episode?
Yes.
God damn it, that shit is so funny.
You guys like that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
I went and saw that.
I wouldn't say it's awesome, but I like
great.
That movie.
Well, I thought it was one of the, like, lower echelon Mike Myers movies.
No, it's so it good.
No,
oh,
no,
my
no.
gosh.
The Love Guru is the lowest.
Oh, yeah. That's the most of the lowest.
Bottom
yeah.
of the scum. Barrel.
On the bottom.
I don't think I ever saw that.
The movie's fucking terrible.
Also written by Douglas Adams. No, that's not true.
It's a bad movie when literally the funniest part is Justin Timberlake as the French Canadian hockey player.
Because he was actually funny in that.
Yeah, that was the only funny part of the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't
love
laugh
Justin Timberlake.
Any other time in the movie.
Anyway.
Oh, movie's so bad.
But one of the things I like about this version of the movie is the narration that basically is the voice as Douglas Adams. It's not his voice that they're using, but the narration from the book, the animatics that they use on screen are fantastic, where there's like animation and like a description of like parts from Hitchhiker's Guide.
Isn't it Stephen Fry?
Stephen Fry is the book.
Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah. At which talk about that. That's a little thing with Stephen Fry and Douglas Adams is that it's stated that Douglas Adams was the first person to purchase a Mac in the UK. But there's differing opinions that it might have been Stephen Fry, but even Stephen Fry is like, no, that was Douglas Adams.
I actually listened to an audiobook version of this week that was read by Stephen Fry, and it was so delightful.
I love Stephen Fry. Was. What is the BBC show that you like with Stephen Fry? It's like a educational like quiz show type thing.
Oh.
Q or something? Or
The QI. Last,
QI. Yeah, that's what it
Quite
is.
Quite interesting.
Quite interesting. That if you get a chance to check that out, it is actually quite
it's
interesting.
It's a fun little panel show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fun.
Did you hear my idea for the best Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy tattoo ever that I might do for myself?
Yeah, hers is pretty good.
Oh, no. No.
I want to get a tattoo of a bowl of petunias with, oh, no, not again.
Oh, that's great.
Right?
Because that is something that I think was the best parallel to the book in the modern take was the whale and the petunias going to Earth, and it was almost verbatim from the book. I mean, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And it's got such a perfect, like, existential, like, philosophical, what am I, do I exist kind of feel to it, that it shouldn't be that insightful for something so funny.
It's round. What was the word? What will I call it? Ground. Well, maybe he'll be friends with me.
If you get that tattoo, you need to get it right on one of your ass cheeks, though.
Psych. It'd
make it even more hilarious. And Douglas Adams would appreciate that.
I mean, I see Douglas Adams as one that appreciates some ass stuff.
You don't know? Be ruining ass cheeks with bad graffiti.
That's not bad graffiti, though. That's an inspired tattoo.
Also, that's coming from a man that's not a huge fan of tattoos in the first
God,
place.
They're
so
right.
You
don't put him anywhere where I'm thinking
about. You don't
about
have
fucking.
A place in this conversation, okay. Sir.
I always do.
No.
Anthony
My
likes
My voice
him.
Sounds better than yours.
I've never argued that point.
I know, so therefore I'm always correct.
That's not how how any of this works.
That is how all of this works.
No.
We judge things by height and sound of voice.
No, no.
I think like right below the belly button, maybe.
Really?
Oh, no, not again.
Damn it.
That's actually perfect.
That is pretty good.
Actually, I think that's the perfect tramp stamp, to be fair.
I already have a tramp stamp, sorry.
It's a really big cover-up of a petunia plant.
a life-size petunia plant.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. So, going along with the movie, what everyone think of Bill Nighy? I know he had a really small part, but...
Oh, perfect. I love him.
So perfect.
Love
like
him.
Every time
love
I can see the Nighy, it's perfect.
That's
Underworld?
Thing.
Yeah, I think he did Underworld well, considering what Underworld is.
That's
yeah.
the thing, is True. He was not
I'm the
problem.
Same way. True. I want to see him in all of the things.
God, yeah. When he spun around and was the stepdad in Shaun of the Dead, I was
right?
like, yeah.
Holy fuck. Uh-huh. But dude, how about the voice in At World's End? Come on.
Oh,
that was
absolutely.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
was great.
Absolutely.
Oh,
Bill
yeah.
Nighy is one of those that I don't think gets proper appreciation in the United States, but is well respected in
oh,
the UK.
Oh, come on. Love Actually? God damn it, that was hilarious.
Oh, he was so good.
Was so
Love
good
Actually.
I've actually never seen that.
Really? Oh,
you will.
You need
it's
to
up
see
there.
That movie.
It's the only
you will
romantic you comedy I own.
It. But is it really like a straight comedy? It's kind of like depressing.
It's a romantic
at times
comedy.
It's depressing a little bit at times.
What was the
it
film
is.
He played a drag queen in?
My Dreams.
Yeah, probably.
He was a drag queen in a movie? I
didn't
idea.
Know that.
Yeah, I didn't know if he. Yeah. Consult the IMDb's, Ms. Jody.
I feel like they dealt with Zaphod's heads better. In this one.
Yes, I would agree.
Because the fucking head in the TV series was just clunky
it's,
and
terrible. It's
horrible.
Really bad. Yeah.
And
he's able to hide it well.
Yeah.
And it lent itself to comedic timing with it popping out and just kind of like, whoa, like jump scare kind of thing, but with comedy. Yeah.
It just shows the talent that Sam Rockwell has. How many other actors can pull that off, having two heads?
How many actors would go through all the hard plastic surgery of getting a second your face underneath your face?
Exactly.
Just for a role.
He's fucking amazing.
And the third arm thing, you know.
And the third arm thing. I mean, I know Ed Helms went through a thing where he actually got a tooth that was capped, the cap taken off for The Hangover, for his missing tooth in the first one. And that's impressive. But to actually graft your face underneath your face and a third arm, that's just, yeah.
Respect.
Yeah, that's respect. Yeah, I can appreciate that.
This movie's so good, guys. Come on.
Get the form to pursue.
I would say the...
oh, it's so good.
The biggest comparison to like the campiness of the original BBC series would be the Vogons, which we're on the scene right now, because it's obviously not trying to look super realistic with the characters. They're giant rubber suit monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're
to me, that's how, I mean, honestly, I watched the movie first, but that's how I envision it when I read it.
Yeah, they're puppets. They're like weird, like Muppety type characters. And it, I think it works better that way.
Well, it's very faithful to the description
of them. Right.
So, I mean, in the series, like they're trying to go for that, but they did. But they failed. It's 1981.
Yeah.
Budget.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know.
But they went with campy actual... like practical effects for those characters. If they tried to CGI character,
there it is.
Those,
there's that third hand.
If they tried to CGI character those, it would come off just schlocky kind of, and not like fun schlocky.
No,
just,
like going like practical with that was, I thought, better option. Yeah. Although if they were to do a reboot, as we discussed earlier, if Terry Gilliam wanted to just reboot it and do all the books as a movie, they would probably use more CG.
Yeah, and see, that's properties. Why I kind of disagree where he says it's too Hollywood. Well, it's not too Hollywood.
Too Hollywood would have been making him CG characters.
Right. I think it's pretty good. But it could have been a series versus one movie.
Well, yeah. I think the saving grace for this film for me is the fact that they probably didn't have that much of a budget. If they were given a Hollywood budget, like $100, $150 million to make this, with the confidence that it would make it back, it would be an entirely different film and there'd be a lot more hands in it.
Right.
I think because it is a cult... iconic, like nerdy property, it probably got a $40 million budget.
But now, no, since the nerds have won,
yeah.
11 years later,
yeah,
it would,
exactly. You know. It's good. Do not misinterpret me. It's good, but I waited a long time for this movie and it wasn't as good as I wanted it to.
And I think it's because they used people that at the time were not in their prime acting wise and they were getting, you know, paid a little and they'd made one movie out of
except
it.
Except for Sam fucking Rockwell.
Well, right. Yeah. But you think about like Martin reproach. Freeman and Zooey Deschanel and Mos Def, they hadn't been in much then. So
but to be fair with Sam Rockwell though, he's been in big budget movies, but he also goes back and does the like indie cred shit all the time, like Seven Psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
Where he didn't need to be in that movie. I mean, I'm glad he was, but he could have taken a much bigger payday doing something else.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, when you have a movie where you get to be in there with Christopher Walken and Tom Waits petting a bunny, you take that fucking role.
Yeah. He chooses his roles wisely.
You don't?
No.
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 I'm better than that.
Little information. You're right. This movie cost $45 to $50 million to make, but it made $104.5 million back. So it over doubled its budget.
And that's just on box office, right?
Correct, box office.
And I'm sure DVD sales were killer.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm sure.
So the fact that, you know, they didn't make another one more befuddles me.
Yeah, you know? I agree. They could have made so much more with those movies.
Well, and they should have stuck to canon and stayed with the first book and not brought in shit from the later books, which would have set them up for more, like, natural, you know.
Progression of movies?
Yeah.
Hey,
lost
Slim.
Lost my train of thought.
Are you wearing my underwear? Because I'm wearing yours, and they're not doing the trick. Come on, all right.
Well, I understand the logic, because the notion that this might have been a one-shot deal, much like Star Wars, so they tried to, you know, kind of wrap it up, you know, have everything all kind of tied together with a bow on top. Now, that's saying, you know, I mean, you still could have made a way to incorporate, you know, the rest of the books and other storylines and keep these characters in play. Anyway.
Well, I mean, have you guys seen Scott Pilgrim?
Yes.
Have you read Scott Pilgrim?
No.
There's I'm a dude. There's six of them. They, sorry, they could have made a series of movies out of it, but they didn't. And honestly, I'm sorry. When I watched them, when I saw it the first time, it was like, I was the same age. I was 23 and I was Scott Pilgrim. And they could have made like a series of movies out of them, but they didn't do it.
That follows into what's commonly said about Scott Pilgrim is Scott Pilgrim is the book you give to your girlfriend. That is a thing. That's like a thing said about Scott Pilgrim. I've heard from male friends that it's actually really good and should be appreciated. And like even dudes are going to like it. But it's that like the campiness of the storyline. It just it's a good lead in to comic books for people that are not commonly familiar with comic books.
Well, I had read a lot of comic books, Mike. before I got those.
No, yeah, Mike.
You're a girl, so you're obviously fake nerd. Because we all know.
Don't even get me started that all girls are fake nerds. Please.
Yes. Please. First, you pissed off the midgets. Now you're pissing off all the female listeners.
Which is like 46% of our listenership is women. So
good job, Hobbit.
Bullshit.
I've looked at the numbers, man. Yeah.
It's real hard to pretend like I'm a nerd.
By the way, the voice of the computer, Helen Mirren.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I did not realize.
Even at 80, she's
hot.
She's not 80, is she? No, she's like 60.
Yeah, exactly.
Is she really like 60?
I feel like she's older than that.
She's somewhere in there.
She doesn't look like she's older than that.
Still fucking hot. It's bangable goodness.
Yeah, Helen fucking Mirren. Which, that's one that we all determined would... No, no. Was it Helen Mirren that we determined would be a good Doctor Who?
No.
No, that was fucking...
Words. Say it. Say it now.
What's
say
the
it.
Face?
Say it.
Kate Blanchett.
Yes. No, actually... Keira Knightley, actually, is what we were thinking. No, not at all.
She's not good for anything.
No, she's good for that shitty smile thing that she does.
Keira Knightley?
She does have that shitty smile, which I do love. She does it a lot in Pirates of the Caribbean, where she does that like side smirk, like, oh, fuck you, but she's smiling thing, which is great. But it's her blue steel. It's her one move, you know, like, that she has. That's all she's got.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's her blue seal. That's the thing.
She does nothing for me.
Yeah. No, it was not Helen Mirren.
No.
Not Judi Dench.
No, younger.
Dame Judi Dench.
What's her name? Nanny McPhee.
Yeah.
Emma Thompson?
Emma Thompson, there we go. Yes. Absolutely great choice.
I was wondering
choice.
If you were ever going to get
it. Is that going to happen?
No. Oh. It's just...
No, just...
I've always said that if the Doctor were ever to become a woman, the first woman to play the Doctor... should be her.
Okay.
She would be perfect.
Why is woman not play the Doctor?
We just haven't done it yet.
It's actually not even been until recently canon that Time Lords could change sexes. So, I could be wrong.
Well, he still hasn't been a ginger yet, so.
He's been wanting to be a ginger for a while.
Nor should he ever, because then he would die.
After everything Emma Thompson has done, you go for Nanny McPhee?
I know! What the fuck? Shit.
Have you seen Nanny McPhee?
It is glorious.
It's a good movie, but fuck. No, it is. It's a good movie.
I think it's pretty good.
Why do you hate
it's
fun?
It's sweet. It's a sweet little kids movie.
That's right. You're German.
No. I like Emma Thompson. I have watched her Jane Austen movies. Okay. And
you know how I know you're gay?
You're showing your Kinsey scale
because
right now.
Because I watched them with my mom.
Yeah. And cried.
Did you like hold your mom and sob together watching Jane Austen movies? Is that a thing that happened?
I watch all kinds of movies. Oh, I like movies. Did anybody know I like movies?
You didn't like Nanny McPhee.
I never saw it.
Then how can you judge it?
It's a kids movie.
It's a fun movie.
You love kids movies. Yeah, like how, you. Whatever. You try and make me watch kids movies all the time. What the fuck are you even talking about?
What are you talking about?
God damn it, are you actually serious?
Yeah.
What I don't think he is because of that shit-eating grin he's got on his face.
37?
The movie with the midgets? Can you be more specific?
Time Bandits.
Time Bandits? That's a Terry Gilliam film. That's a fantastical, like, adventure movie.
Everything he's ever done aside from Tideland is great. Tideland upsets my heart.
That is not a kid's
movie. Are you the type of person that only watches movies when they were children?
Okay, the other one. Yes. Brothers Grimm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Brothers Grimm was not fantastic, but he's made a lot of awesome movies. Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus being one of his more recent ones.
Oh my God. Cool. Yeah.
The last role is so of good. Mr. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, man. Yeah,
Heath Ledger.
That movie's so good. I love that movie.
Yeah, and I think Terry Gilliam, which will get his own director episode, he's been one of those directors that constantly has plight on set, his Don Quixote thing that's been a running thing.
That documentary was just depressing.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's not on Netflix, is it, the documentary?
Not anymore, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Wow.
I think, honestly, that's where I originally watched it.
Yeah. But as we were talking about Doctor Who, a lot of Douglas Adams' early stuff was involved deeply in Doctor Who. Before he made it, he submitted scripts. Like we mentioned earlier, that one script that he wrote was actually the basis for, was it Life, the Universe, and Everything? That's where he wrote it and then used that as his main basis for the book. Also, he has three writing credits for the Tom Baker era Doctor Who, which anybody that's listening is familiar with Tom Baker, that kind of makes a lot of sense, because during that time as well, he was the main script editor as well. So he had his hands on basically most of the scripts from that period. And Doctor Who and Douglas Adams, I think combined, is the main, like, the grandfather of modern UK humor. I think that and Monty Python. I think those are the two big influences that have influenced modern dudes. One of the most affected is Neil Gaiman, which I think that's a good thing to talk about, kind of where we see the inspiration that was given to Neil Gaiman through Douglas Adams, which I know a few of you guys are Neil Gaiman likers.
I do like him. I'm actually paying attention to you. I do like him.
Well, that's a thing you know
I like
about.
The Sandman, and I like his books, and American Gods is awesome. And the graveyard story thing was awesome, too.
And American Gods is being adapted.
It has been for 17 fucking years, it feels like.
Whereabouts, yeah.
And same thing with Good Omens.
Yep, also.
Yep.
I think it's maybe going to become a miniseries in British television.
Or something, miniseries. I don't know.
It's the last thing I heard a year ago.
Was I the only one that liked Stardust, the movie adaptation?
No, I loved it.
It was all right.
I loved that adaptation.
Which, I forget his name, the dude that plays Daredevil.
Yeah, him.
He is the main character in Stardust.
Right.
Charlie Cox. Yeah.
Charlie Cox.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal in that.
He was great as well. He's a great actor.
Yeah, he was the lead.
Yeah, we are currently at the scene Malkovich. Where they're in the Church of the Eternal Sneezing or whatever it is. And, and they're blowing in napkins and shit. And,
which book is this from, Katie? The Humakavula stuff.
You can't read all the books right now to figure it out. Like,
Life, the Universe, and Everything.
There it is.
Malkovich?
Okay. Malkovich.
I think that's what it is.
He plays such a creepy dude in this. Like,
yes.
In everything.
Well, he's not that creepy in being John Malkovich.
But this part when he like walks across the table is so gross to me.
Oh, it's super gross. I would like to see John Malkovich in like an older person romantic comedy where he's being like super charming, just to see if he can play that or not, or if he just comes off as super creepy.
He wasn't creepy in Red.
Oh, he God, was kind of so
creepy
gross.
In Red. No, he wasn't creepy. He was insane, but not creepy.
Yeah, but it still came off as like, that's not a dude I want to hang out with. Like, he's probably a super nice guy, but he comes off as just this like absurd weirdo in most of his films.
That's so weird.
Yeah. But I think what I like about this scene, and we're looking at the scene where he's walking across the table on his tiny little robot legs, is that the picking up the glass and casually sipping it like it's just not a big deal, as everybody else is freaking the fuck out.
Even Zaphod is.
Yeah.
It's just, do you not have enough source material in the first book to like remain faithful? Like, why do you bring Humakavula into it?
Yeah.
Well, as I think Anthony touched on, I think that's the whole point, is that they weren't really sure how long this was going to go. And they had like
so much longer.
A budget that honestly is disappearing from Hollywood at this point, where it's the mid-level movie. You've got the super low budget indie movie stuff where they're given like, you know, maybe $6 million. And then you've got the super budget movies of like $100 million plus. But the mid-level $30, $40, $50 million is going by the wayside. And this is one of the, you know, this is 2005, so there were still a few of those going out. But none of those movies have an expectation to get a series of sequels.
They even did it out of order, though. That's what bothered me the most, I think.
I think that's part of what really bothered me about this movie. Like, I had high hopes, and like they could have done a completely fine, excellent movie sticking with the canon, like, first book source material. Yeah. So, anyway, it's fine. I mean, I got some Malkovich out of it, so I can't be too mad.
Malkovich.
I mean, on its own, it's a sweet, neat little movie, and I love watching it, but it's not, it kind of takes the books and the radio show and turns it inside out.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
But it's still good to watch. I still like watching it.
Yeah, but now you understand, like, as a devotee of the books before the movie came out, why I was like, what are you doing?
No, I get it.
Well, one thing I think, and we've done this in a few other episodes where we recast, and I think since we were talking about the idea of maybe a reboot with Terry Gilliam doing the business, and I think we're all familiar enough with his films to know kind of the tone that it would take. Who in, let's say, like, in the next couple of years it gets greenlit and goes, would we cast in these roles of Zaphod and you know, Ford Prefect and like all the other and Trillian, who would you get for these roles?
Like I said, as far as it comes to with Arthur, I mean, we still get Martin
Freeman. Yeah,
because he's the best Arthur Dent. He is so good.
Yeah,
he's like the perfect paranoid, like anxiety ridden.
He was that
British
way
man. He was that right. way Fargo. Exactly. Like, and that's
Simon
what
Pegg
he is.
Could do a good job.
Simon Pegg would do a great deal.
Yeah, Simon
that's
Pegg,
true.
Yeah,
I think he would, but I think he's, I don't know.
Or you could just go straight Sherlock and get Bandersnatch Cumberbund to do it. And
no, he's too pretty.
And
no.
He's also way too like sharp in his delivery on stuff. It wouldn't work for like kind of character.
No. Right.
No, not at all.
Yeah. But it would be funny to watch.
I think the only person I would recast would be Ford, and I think it would be who's the guy who plays Freddy Krueger, the new one?
Oh,
no!
What's Nick his face? Something or a Rorschach?
Yeah, Rorschach. Something I don't know. Haley Joel Osment, but
it's
a different name.
It's not Haley.
It's a different name. I don't know his name.
He doesn't have any charisma.
Whatsoever.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Like Ford Prefect is a big personality.
What about Ron Weasley?
Yeah. Okay, I can see that.
Because he's a ginger. In the book, he's a ginger.
I'm going to go back to what I always do, and I'm trying desperately to get Jay Baruchel more work. Get Jay Baruchel in there to play Ford Prefect.
Who's that?
It's the Canadian dude from...
yeah, he played Arthur. He would play Arthur better than he would Ford.
No, Rupert Grint all the way.
But
Team Rupert.
I mean, he's got to be British.
Team
though.
Rupert,
I don't
110
see,
fucking percent.
I don't see Jay Baruchel doing a solid British accent. Like,
no, but as far as...
He's not a character actor. He plays him.
As his ability to act, it would be better leaned towards Arthur than Ford.
So he's which guy? Tell me who he is.
If you watched This Is the End.
Yeah.
He's the friend that comes in from out of town to hang out with Seth Rogen. And he's kind of a hipster. He's
on sitcom on FXX.
Yeah, he's...
The guy who has the Canadian leaf tattooed on him?
That guy.
Oh.
Wasn't he the voice for...
I think he would be a better Arthur.
Yeah, agreed. But I don't really see him being able to pull off a British accent.
No, but as far as your casting was wrong.
But yeah, he would be better Arthur.
I think he would be a better Arthur.
Because wasn't he was the voice
because
of
he's kind of like
How to Train a Dragon,
he's
right?
Kind of like,
and that's exactly what the character was.
He's the same kind of guy as Martin Freeman is. That's kind of like he kind of almost always plays the same guy except
Ooh,
for
Ooh. Get Michael Richards to play Ford.
Who's that?
Kramer.
No.
No.
Kramer would be better as the president. No. Wouldn't he be better as the president, Michael Richards?
No, he's
really?
Not good at
no. I think Sam Rockwell is fine. I think
he's good
just leave
Seinfeld.
Him.
He's
Seinfeld.
Really good at he's really good in racism.
Yeah. Don't bring
well, so
him
am
on
I.
Movie.
Yeah, true. What about Zaphod?
I think keep him the same, man.
Sam Rockwell can still act.
Yeah, he killed it. But if we were to mix it up and put somebody else in there,
I can't. He's supposed to be blonde. He's supposed to be wackadoo. Like he's supposed to be.
Justin Timberlake?
So Trump.
Oh, well, he's too pretty.
Oh.
Ooh, Jay.
You said blonde and wackadoo. I'm thinking Trump.
Trump's gray with a comb over. That's like dye job.
Isn't Trump a ginger? I thought he was a ginger.
Is he a ginger?
Does he dye his hair?
I don't know. Who
gives that explains his lack of soul. I mean, Trump's obviously dead inside. So.
Oh, shit. Right?
I think it's good.
He's dead inside?
Yes.
Andy Samberg? Oh.
No,
that would be way too wacky.
He'd be cheesing at the camera too much, I think.
What about Eisenberg?
No.
You know,
that would make it too American.
That actually explains Batman v Superman. He was playing Zaphod Beeblebrox as Lex Luthor. That makes all the sense in the world.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, just...
weird tics. Like, it looked... brief side note. It looked like he watched Brad Pitt and 12 Monkeys and went, yep, that's how I'm going to do it.
But that's actually what
but
I was
Brad
thinking.
Brad Pitt actually did it.
Yeah.
Did it well.
That's what I was just thinking. Is that Brad Pitt's portrayal in 12 Monkeys would be a good
Zaphod.
Maniacal Zaphod.
Yeah.
I'll sign on for that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I can see that happening.
Brad Pitt's form of 12 Monkeys was amazing.
Oh
yeah.
Like, it was awesome. Well, seeing that in Batman v Superman was horrible.
On the interviews with Brad Pitt, apparently he was a wet blanket or just like a puddle after those film days because it's exhausting to have all those little ticks and cricks and all that stuff like during filming. He was just exhausted.
And you don't even know how many takes they did for each scene.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because I can imagine that, what's his name, the director we were just mentioning, would be exhausting to work for.
Oh, Terry Gilliam?
Terry Gilliam. I just imagine that would be tiring.
I'm sure he has a number of takes for scenes. Like,
oh, yeah.
He seems like a perfectionist.
Ultimate perfectionist.
He has a specific vision, and he's not going to quit until he gets that vision. And ultimately, Fincher's the same way. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's some people that won't work with him and some that want to work with him, because it comes out exactly how he wants it to come out, or at least very close to.
Well, at least they're probably not like, you know, just abusive in the sense like Stanley Kubrick was, where he would just like torture his cast, like, no, we need to do another take, more takes to get it right, and until they're crying, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What about Trillion? We didn't really solve Zaphod, but we had a couple choices. But Trillion.
I don't know.
I think at the very least, Arthur Dent and Trillion should absolutely be British actors.
I was going to say...
Or Australians who can do British actors.
I was going to say J-Law.
Oh, Jennifer I could Lawrence. See that.
Mm. No.
I love her.
So I just want a girl that I have a crush on to be Trillion.
Jessica Chastain?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I can
see
that.
That.
Too pretty, though. I don't know.
Like, I'm trying to think of
Jennifer Lawrence was great in Winter's Bone.
Oh my
like
god!
Like the little like indie flick she did before she got big.
That's what put her on the map.
And after that, I don't know anything that I've really enjoyed her in.
Kristen Wiig?
No.
Age is off. I think
not British enough.
Yeah.
How about British. The girl that's just quitting Doctor Who now?
Ooh, yeah. No. Oh, what's her name?
Just because you hate her doesn't mean she's not a good actor.
Sorry. Or even on that,
Emma Watson?
No.
Karen Gillan.
Too tall.
She is tall. God damn it, she is tall.
This is hard.
This is very hard.
That's what she said. But who else do we got? The voice of the robot.
Nah. I would never change it. Not in a million fucking
years.
Well,
we're not going to get him to do a repeat.
Exactly.
Well, they can just take the track from this and use it for one movie.
Just all the outtakes and be like, yeah, that was a bad take, God. But it's a different.
Or every movie he's ever done.
Yeah. The idea of recasting, we're not going to go there, because recasting him is just...
It's too much.
It's sad. It's so damn sad.
I do think the cast is well done, but...
Ooh, you would be interested, Anthony, that another film that this director directed is Son of Rambo.
What?
What?
Son of, like, Rambo, you know, Rambo, John
Rambo? Oh, yeah.
A little indie flick. It's not actually, like, a Rambo movie. It's R-A-M-B-O-W.
Isn't that what the new Rambo is supposed to be about, though? Son of Rambo?
I have no idea.
So, are they the making one. Another one?
It's the last one. It's supposed to be, I think it's supposed
the
to
last
be about
one was
son.
The last one.
No. This is the last one.
The last one was gloriously bloody violent.
It was amazing.
It was awesome.
It was so good.
I literally clapped at the end of seeing it in the theater. I was like, yes.
I've been waiting for this since the first Rambo. What took you so long?
I want to point out why this is stylized and we said it's too Hollywood. It's because this director, he had Hitchhiker's Guide and Son of Rambo, which are feature films. But he also, before that, had The Best of R.E.M. In View, Pulp Anthology about the band Pulp, Badly Drawn Boy, Spitting in the Wind, another band, Top of the Pops, and The Best of Blur. So he was a
music video director.
Music video
the best
director.
Of Blur. How many videos of Blur have?
Like
two?
Three, something like that.
It's the best of Blur. Fuck off.
it's probably our concert performances as well.
So the whole 2 years they toured?
I can kind of see that this was directed by somebody that had come from music videos. That does make sense to me.
I don't see that.
I see it.
Wasn't that basically what Fincher did before Alien 3? And it came out. Alien 3 looked like less Hollywood than this.
Yeah, Fincher. That was a shitty cut. Spike Jones. Uh-huh. He's video.
Yeah, true. But I think it's the pacing on this mainly. That it doesn't have that British breathing room on scenes that
no,
you get.
No, it's like bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, there's a lot of like hard cuts and quick takes and sharp, quick
there's
dialogue.
Too many Americans in this movie.
Yeah, I think you might actually be.
I mean,
be
if you think
nose.
About it, there's the ratio in terms of the main characters in it is like 4-1.
Well, you know what? That makes sense because when you go to like the Harry Potter movies, even though they became huge Hollywood, you know, sensational movies, they still kept British cast.
Yeah, it was all British.
It still felt, you know, away from
it had
like,
that sensibility.
The right. Hollywood norm.
And
yeah.
I think if they would have kept it like at least mostly, I think Zaphod should be have like an American accent because he's so different from
he's
everybody
very
else.
America.
Oh, right.
Yes. Zaphod is super.
But
American.
Like absolutely. The rest of them, like even Ford and Trillian, they should all be British in my opinion.
Well, I could see Ford as just like a different kind of like, oh, make him Brazilian. Yeah.
There's Marvin.
Also, I don't understand how you can say the British way of letting everything breathe when you have Edgar Wright, who is the king of the hard cut.
But that's somebody that was raised on American action movies. Mm-hmm. It's the more modern take British directing, which only really came prevalent around the time that Edgar Wright started making movies.
And also, if you watch Top Gear, and this is not a movie, but still, hard cutting was what that entire series did
is about. Yeah,
was just snap.
But that's action cuts. This isn't. I wouldn't call this an action movie.
We have to interrupt you for a second because the scene that we're watching in the movie, Jody just pointed out,
original Marvin.
Oh my God! Yeah, you're correct. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
The original Marvin. Yeah.
Oh, shit, there he is.
He's just in the scene. I didn't notice that.
Yes. I didn't either.
Yeah, when that's the thing.
When they cut in line to try to get Trillian out.
Yeah, Marvin's in the line.
Marvin's in line.
He's
that
in the
great.
Queue.
He's in the queue. No. That's correct.
He's in the queue.
No, this is Americanized. He's in line.
Yeah.
no, you're right. You're right.
I'm just saying, I didn't know if anybody else knew that he was in here, so I had to, bust in.
No.
As you were.
Bust in.
Before we finish up here, there is some news as far as it comes with Douglas Adams' books that it's been greenlit, and they're casting currently for the Dirk Gently series for BBC, which is his private investigator series that that he did. There's a number of books from that series, and they're going to make that into a series on BBC. So awesome. I'm excited to get some more of that whimsical Douglas Adams-y shit out there. So
I just can't hear Dirk Gently without thinking that it's like a scene from our friend's Love Life.
I'm going to Dirk you so gently.
Sorry, I know it's your brother.
I don't care.
Dirk Gently with a vengeance. Oh, wait, no, that's not how that works.
Lord. And so on, and such as that.
So. And shit, and sir, and stuff.
And things, yeah. So that's the tail end of this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. We're going to continue watching this film. And when we come back next week, we're going to have our on-location episode, on-location at Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, North Carolina. So stick around for that and some special guests on that episode as well. And after that one, we're going to be talking about the DC Cinematic Universe. And we're going to be talking about Batman v Superman and the Superman movies. A little bit on Batman, because we already covered a lot of that on the Batman episode.
Can we shit all over Green Lantern? Because that's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to definitely shit on Green Lantern, because we barely touched that.
Is Sean Lucas coming back?
We're going to try to get him if we can get the...
It's 2 weeks out, so we need a little...
Yeah, yeah. We just need to give him the time for it. So we're working on all that. So stick around. Check us out on, again, iTunes and Stitcher. Subscribe and review and rate. And gypodcast.com to shop through the Amazon tab and just keep up with us. And through that, you can look at all of our, Facebook links and Instagram and all that stuff. So join the conversation. And we will see you next week on Geeks Under the Influence. Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Don't panic. Join us or die.